That's right.
Could actually be done in a week. The other thing I just want to say, folks, is that we're writing bylaws, right? Bylaws, by their nature, I believe, are most useful when you don't end up with a 500-page document. Let me put it that way. They define the parameters of the organization. They don't hammer out every single policy and every single detail. Right? That's what the bylaws are about.
Can I make a 30-second comment about just the bylaw? I just want a little bit internal that since we're talking about that, so many people already wrote or draft something. I just want a little bit from the legal point of view, and since that is a legal document that could be used in court later on to do whatever, is any, I don't know, I know there's some lawyers, I don't know how many on the board, but is any possibility that we can be in consultation with some lawyer who got some kind of expertise in this matter that we don't go like, you know.
Yes, we have to do that. George.
Will you please repeat your idea to me?
Okay, here's my idea, and if it's clear enough, then maybe we can just vote on it. That a national committee be asked to, within a week to 10 days, let's just say, 10 days max, as soon as possible, put together a document that lists out what the items that are that would need to be included in bylaws, the areas that need to be addressed in bylaws, and some questions that people will be encouraged to discuss and try and reach answers to in filling out what those items are. That as that committee is doing that work and preparing that document, the five committees would be set up, one in each of the five single areas, to receive this document and begin their work.
That does not exclude or preclude in any or all of those five areas other questions and other items and other ideas also coming up, but it's a starting point, and there's some commonality then in what all of the five groups are looking at. So each of the five groups would then be asked to try and begin to answer those questions and fill in their thoughts about that. That would be collated by the national committee, written as a draft, which would then be circulated among the board members, the national board members, and sent back out to the local advisory boards and the local committees for another round of discussion and hammering away and changing and adding, etc. And through that process, another draft would be put together. That's my proposal. Okay. Now, is the board ready to vote on that proposal? It's a little different than where we started.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Jeffrey.
Yes, Mary.
When the five subcommittees finish their work and submit this to the national board, I assume.
Yes.
Would it go to this commission? I mean, this board subcommittee that would then collate it all together and then send it back out.
It would, and that the committee would collate it all together, try and put together an overall draft that would come to all the members of this board as well as being sent back out to the five committees and the labs in the five areas. And then there'd be another round of discussion and debate and rewriting and stuff. That would then be again collated and come back for, another version of it.
Will we get from the subcommittees an actual draft of their version or what the bylaw will look like?
I think that if the pleasure of the body is that everybody on the interim national board could get both the collated draft as well as what came out of each of the five areas. So everybody in the board sees the work that was done in each of the five areas as well as the collated product.
No, what I'm asking is that at the subcommittee level, each subcommittee will submit back to the board an actual draft bylaws that they think ought to be implemented.
Right. Let me just suggest that in each area, each of the five committees could either write a draft of the bylaws, or they could decide they're not going to write a whole draft. They're going to focus on a particular area or they want to make sure certain issues are addressed certain ways. Now, we wouldn't mandate that all five areas have to draft bylaws, but they would be able to.
But how will we know what their thinking is?
Well, no, then we get that. We get all that thinking. Oh. But however far they get in their thinking and wherever they want to go with their thinking, we get all of that. The National Committee, you know, produces a new document that reflects that thinking, and it may reflect that on item three, there is broad disagreement and needs further discussion, or on item three, there's broad agreement, you know, whatever. And that is useful then for another round on the board level and at the local committee level for further, you know, deeper discussion and probing of the issues.
How many revisions do you want to go through?
How many what?
Revisions.
Well, I mean, as many as we can do in the time frame, we have to, maybe we can also ask this national committee to suggest a more detailed time, you know, calendar for how often the back and forth would happen. I think it would take at least three to get to the draft that we would finally vote on and the labs would finally vote on. But again, we do have a time frame here. Okay, so are we ready to vote?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we voting on your mind?
What
question.
I said.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, Rob, you'd have to offer a substitute.
I accept as a friendly amendment or
substitute.
Whatever
substitute.
You want to call it.
Substitute.
Substitute.
The process is outlined by Leslie.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Can we do this by a show of hands?
One question, Leslie. What is the what are the time guidelines?
That's what I'm saying. That the committee will have to figure out the exact time guidelines. Speedy. Not too many summer vacations this year, folks. Okay. So can we do this by show of hands? Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hands. And all those opposed, please raise your hands. And any abstentions? One abstention.
Who was that?
Jabari. And everybody else voted for it. So we have it. Thank you. Right. Okay, so the one other question now related to this has to do with the composition of the local committees. I have to ask everybody's extreme discipline because we cannot give that question. We just are running out of time here, as much time. I think the general principle of full inclusion has been clearly committed to by this board, by the listeners, by everyone else. If there are a few comments on this that people want to make, let's take them, but please let's keep them few and short. Okay, Donna and Jane, I don't want to speak to that. They were on the list from before. And then Stephen, let's hear those three. Donna. Donna and then Jane will come next, so maybe you can get over to the mic, and then it'll be Stephen. We need that floor mic. We got it. It's coming up. You got it? Keep talking.
Okay. Oh. I'm Donna Gould from Concerned Friends of WBAI in New York. I think that we need to really nail down a couple of points that we have sort of roughly agreed to, and that it should be in the language of the motion. One of them is the point that Dave Adelson was making, which is that the subcommittees be charged initially with conveying to the PNB Bylaws Committee those issues or bylaws on which there is agreement and those issues or bylaws on which there is disagreement. That is, rather than presenting a set of bylaws that they convey what the views are, differing views in the community. The second one is that the listeners be involved all the way through the local committee process, including the formulations of issues, agreements, and disagreements. So I'm suggesting this as amendments that elaborate on the proposal that's being considered.
Okay. Thank you. Jane?
I'm Jane Jackson from KPFA.
I'd like to begin by once again praising our chair, our courageous chair.
Thank you.
At a last meeting following the meeting in BAI, a group of activists got together and unanimously crafted a request for a programmatic and a facilities audit of all five stations and the national office. I have heard no further response to that. The need is greater. The disability discrimination continues. And I ask that we be included in the discussion of what the bylaws will look like, because I truly do not want to have to go to the judge and announce that state and federal laws continue to be violated by Pacifica. So please include us and not make that necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we also mandate, if you will, that all the meetings about this process in the five areas have to be accessible. They have to be held in locations that are fully accessible. Okay?
I'd like to add one more comment, and that's a praise to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And reports back from Cuba and other places that are asking that now that Democracy Now! Is being video broadcast, that it also be simultaneously translated for the deaf who have been excluded from Pacifica since 1949 when I began listening to this station. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Stephen, and then Bernie, and then that's it, I think, on this topic. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Steve Brown from New York. There's one issue I think hasn't been raised. We know that the PNB and the labs have to approve these final bylaws. Can any bylaws be approved by the labs and the PNB without the approval or permission of the commissions that the listeners supposedly have been put into? Can we, once those drafts are brought up, can the labs and PNB simply say, well, thank you very much, we're now going to revise them the way we feel like after all? Can we get a commitment from the board that no bylaws will be approved and accepted unless the commissions have agreed to accept them also? Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
Can I just say that that was my assumption. Maybe, you know, thank you for spelling that out. So that's why we're setting up. That's why we spent, you know, more than 2 hours discussing what the process is, so that it is, because we do need to take it seriously and not just have everybody, including ourselves, go through a process that then is just disregarded at the end. No, so, you know, Carol,
I believe that that what Steve was asking is to have the committees have veto power, in a sense, that the board cannot approve something unless it's accepted by the committees. Am I correct?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. That's what I understood Steve's comment to mean. And you know what? I honestly anticipate that if these committees work well, what will develop is non-agreement. What will happen is that we will see that there are certain very controversial issues where the communities disagree. And we'll get reports back saying, we, maybe a certain segment of the KPFA committee and a certain segment of the committees and other stations like this proposal, and some of them like that proposal. You know, let's just take an example. We'd like to have no at-large directors. Some people agree with that. Another portion don't. In the end, I seriously doubt that the commissions or committees would actually, as a body, approve anything. I mean, they would just make recommendations to the board saying, well, 40% of us like it this way on this issue and 60% like it the other way. And the board would take that under advisement and understanding the view of views of the committee, the local boards and the national boards would vote their beliefs as to what they think is best.
And you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI here in New York, Pacifica Radio. And you're listening to the National Board Meeting in California, Los Angeles. And coming up at 6 o'clock will be the Sunday News. And hopefully we will continue with the meetings late at a later date. So we will resume our regular scheduled programming at 6 o'clock p.m. Thank you.
It, in fact, gives that right to the commissions, and that the labs and the IPNB either accept thumbs up or thumbs down, and any rewriting is done by the commissions. So I kind of like what Stephen said, even though we didn't consult on this. You know, I appreciate the board's work, but I'm really very disappointed that you chose to ignore, you basically chose to ignore completely every aspect of the independent listener's proposal. This proposal, as of yesterday, was endorsed by 42 activists, including 7 lab members from 4 of the signal areas. I think it's a disgrace that you, in your proposals here, which are really based upon implementation, not so much as structure. I was really hoping that you folks would really deal with the structure of what you're calling committees and what we called commissions. The idea of commissions, I'll repeat, is the idea that there's a certain amount of independence. And I didn't hear any aspect of anything that we proposed. And we proposed this to you a week ago. Every one of you members on the board got this proposal. We expected you to read it. We expected you to really digest it. And we expected some real discussion about it. And what I found was no discussion on the board's, from the board on any of our points. I just feel really terribly upset, as you know. And I was also very upset about the fact that you said that the board had a meeting yesterday after the full day sessions and listeners were involved, and I wasn't involved, and none of my people were involved either.
Okay,
I think it's a disgrace.
Okay, let me just clarify that again. You must have been out of the room when I clarified that before. At the end of the meeting yesterday, we publicly announced that the members of the board were going to get together either last night or this morning to try and come up with a revised version to bring back. When we met this morning in a public place, some listeners were there, and we did not kick them out. That's what happened. Now, Marion, I think, was next.
Let me speak to the idea that was made that the national board or the labs cannot consider, cannot change any recommendation that came from the 5 subcommittees. Let me just remind us that we're legally bound by this settlement agreement to make this decision whether we like it or not. That the decision on revised bylaws has to be made by the 15 of us on the national board and agreed to by at least 3 listener advisory board. Now, that's there. And so I don't want anybody trying to disenfranchise me by saying I can't vote on something that's different. Democracy cuts across the board. It's good for one, it's good for the other. So we cannot advocate a situation which disenfranchises them to this board. I won't be a party to that either.
Okay, so, Teresa, I'm sorry. Okay, wait, we're getting the mic up. Keep talking so they'll know when the mic is up. Keep talking and you'll repeat yourself.
Yeah.
Just say your name. Say test or something. Use another mic.
Yeah.
Let's try this one. Thank you.
Thanks.
I've heard several people bring up the issue that was just brought up, and actually there was a contradiction. People were suggesting that if we meet in advance, just to exchange ideas, that we're kind of conniving or manipulating or excluding you from the process. However, if we don't meet occasionally to at least discuss things, we come off as really as foolish and disorganized. So I beg you to just be a little bit considerate that sometimes we have to hash things out without subjecting you to hours of you know, trying to understand other points of view.
Thank you. So I think where we are in this discussion right now is to try and make sure we have agreement or clarity on how the local committees are coming together. In Carol's proposal, Carol, can you repeat what your proposal was on that?
And the proposal is that there be a national committee
that was actually set up, will be set up by this board, and that there be at least one interim board member from each station area on it who would be chair of a local subcommittee that would consist of at least one member of this board, at least three members of the local lab, and every other person in the signal area who is interested, whether they are paid or unpaid staff, a member of a listener's group, not a member of a listener's group, a member of anybody, would be free to attend all meetings of the subcommittee and to help work on answering the questions posed by the board and help to come up with drafts and proposals. In addition, the local chair of that committee, who would be an interim board member, who could seek the assistance of a meeting facilitator if the meetings were not productive and felt that that need that was needed. That's it.
Okay. Are there any comments on that proposal, or can we move to a vote?
Is that a motion?
Yes. That's the motion. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Ray, second that. Okay. Can we move right to a vote on that?
Yes.
Can you just
Carol?
Sorry.
Let's vote.
I'm George. Do you have a question?
Using that,
how about this one,
Carol? The IPMB member is the chair of this committee, or how does that work?
The local subcommittees would be chaired by a member of this board who would be meeting in his or her local area with the subcommittee.
Let me just clarify.
To facilitate the meeting.
Right.
When a chair doesn't decide anything, a chair makes certain that everybody is heard in a respectful, orderly way. That's what a chair does. That's all.
That's all I'm doing.
That's all Leslie does.
Let me just
and
suggest,
she's good at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just suggest that I believe in Houston, George, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that a process is already underway, and somebody's already been designated as a chair and stuff. So that would change by what Carol is saying. Maybe one way to think about this, though, if Carol accepts this, is that we would ask that one person from the national board in each of the signal areas facilitate the process locally. That would mean to make sure that meetings are happening, that they are inclusive, that people are reaching out to hear the other voices, so that if somebody else has already named the chair, technically, that's fine, but it would be the board's person's responsibility to make sure that person is really convening the meetings and conducting them in a fair and equitable way, open way.
I would accept as a friendly amendment that the duties of the person on this board can be delegated to someone else, but it's the ultimate responsibility for these committees operating in a fair, open, respectful way. It lies with the member of this committee who, board.
Right, the board, right. Okay, does that give everybody the room to do the work? Great. Then this would not exclude other members of the national boards in a given city from participating in the process locally. And I think we'd want to encourage everybody on this international board to be involved in the process and hear what people are thinking and saying and raising. But there'd be at least one person in each of the five signal areas from this board
that would have that responsibility, as Carol laid out.
And the composition of that the local board is just...
Carol will repeat it. The composition is at least one member of this board, potentially every member of this board in the Signal area if they wish to participate in the subcommittees, at least three members of the local lab, potentially every lab member if they wish to participate, and everybody else who wants to come. Okay? Can we move to a vote? And can we do this by a show of hands again? All those in favor of constructing the committees this way, please raise your hand. And any opposition? No. And no abstentions? So that's unanimous. Okay, thank you. So I think that we are done with this agenda item, which I know it took a lot more time and was very difficult, but I really want to thank everybody on the board for really focusing on this and all the listeners who contributed and everybody here, because this is laying the foundation for how we're going to have this process unfold and do this work and get this governance issue straightened out in this organization. So I want to thank everybody for being so focused and helpful in this. Okay, now we're getting into a jam up here. It's 10 after 12, so we got to speed some of this stuff up. What I want to do actually is go a little out of order and just get a very, very quick update on the executive director search committee and not have a discussion about the whole process, but just inform people about where we are with the process. So Marion Barry's the chair of that committee.
Thank you. The committee met yesterday, and we've been on the phone with several telephonic conferences. We received about 14 resumes. We have now narrowed it down to 5 persons. We intend to interview those 5 persons. Hopefully, we can have this process to a point where at our next board meeting, the committee will be able to make a recommendation of one person to the full board as to our executive director search. The search is going very well. I've not had as much time as I wanted to put in on it, but we put quite a bit of time on it. We have some excellent resumes and some excellent people who applied. And the 5 people who have come forth, emerged as the 5 finalists, all share similarities in the sense of being involved with the mission of Pacifica Foundation as a basis of their wanting to work and to carry out that mission. It's going to be a difficult decision, quite frankly, but that's what it's all about, making difficult decisions, because we have 5 good people.
Okay, so that's just an update. I'm sorry we don't have time for a discussion. Thank you, Marion, for that clarity. I want to move on to the issue of setting up the process for the hiring of the station managers. I gave this out on Friday night, but in case you've lost it or didn't memorize it yet. And again, as I'm doing this, let me just again apologize to everyone on the board and everybody else that we have been negligent or, you know, not met our responsibility to get proposals out in advance. And we do need to make this commitment, as several board members have said already, Jabari said, other people said, to get proposals or resolutions that we're bringing to the board out in advance. So, again, things have been moving at, you know, lightning speed here. There are some extra copies of this proposal here also. If somebody wants to come up and just share them with people out there, that would be great. Okay, thank you. Let me say, oh, wait, I need one. Can I have one?
You wrote it.
I know. I put this together. I want to open this up and just explain what it is by making a change in it, which I came to after I put it out. It opens up with 5 points that are sort of the basic assumptions for how this might work. The first one says that there should be a common process throughout Pacifica, and that the process and the committees themselves might have to have some variation depending on the realities of each area, but the underpinning should be the same at each station. I want to modify that or explain that a little more carefully. And that is, there are very different realities in the 5 stations, just on the question of timing. For instance, here in Los Angeles, the process is to kick into high gear really like tomorrow morning, right? There is an urgency. At the other stations, Valley Venice announced that she was stepping down effective May 1st. So there's a little more time, but not a lot of time. So it varies from station to station. That alone makes a difference. The other thing that makes a difference is the degree of organization among the listening community, and therefore how to involve the listening community in the process. Another thing that makes a difference from station to station is just the size and nature of the staff, both the paid staff and the volunteer programming staff at each of the stations is different. So what I would like to do is make this proposal not so much as the definitive, you know, should we adopt this or some version of this, not as the definitive way it will happen in each city, but as a set of guidelines and principles that in each city would need, you know, should be looked at in the development of their structure for how this will happen. And that this would happen, the final structure would happen locally, but with the coordination of our national executive director. So that there is some national relationship to what's going on in each of the five cities. So I'm trying to tone down a little bit the proposal here so that it's more viewed as guidelines and an approach rather than set in stone how it should be done. So I hope that helps and does that. Again, the other four things, though, I hope really are kind of guiding principles here. One is that the labs need to play, these processes need to be coordinated by some group, and that the labs need to at least get that process up and running, even if it then gets turned over to a group that includes the lab, but other forces, but the lab has to play a central role in the process. The second is that the processes in each city must be inclusive of the various constituent parts in each station's communities. That includes the lab, paid staff and non-paid programmers, the listener community, as well as the foundation's executive staff. There needs to be a fair and workable balance between the constituency parts. Obviously, all of our stations have thousands of listeners, but only, you know, a few dozen lab members, or a few dozen or less than a dozen staff members. So, you know, there has to be some way to balance that. That makes sense. The third kind of core principle is that while we're looking for an open process, and that what happens at each station, the selection of each station manager, obviously is important not only in that signal area, but around the network. We are all concerned about the health of all of our stations. What I'm suggesting here, though, is that the principal focus, when we talk about inclusion of the constituent parts, the principle there is really from the listening area. Not to exclude any input from someplace else, but the weight of this decision has to be based in the local area. And that the final point here in my proposal is one that really should have been the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth point. I mean, I can't say it strongly enough, that not only do we have to encourage applications from women and from people of color, but we as a national organization at the national level and within each of the five listening areas has to make a commitment. We must make a national commitment to ensure ethnic and gender diversity in our management positions. In an earlier draft of this, I had written it slightly different, and actually now I wish I'd left it, that we don't want to end up with five white men as our station managers. And I have nothing against white men, but as a national organization, we cannot have five white men. I might add five straight white men, just to put it out there. That we must make that commitment to diversity, and that's part of why we need the national coordination and the national oversight on this, because folks in L.A. may not know everything about the candidates in Washington or in New York or whatever. So we need to look at the whole picture of what's happening and how that's developing. What the proposal goes on to do is suggest the tasks, which I think are very obvious for the search and hiring committee. This, you don't have to be a rocket scientist there. And again, some of these need to be coordinated with the national office. And then the composition. And that's the part that I think needs to be most flexible, depending on the reality in each area. What I was looking for, again, is some balance, but also to suggest that we not create committees of 20 people and 25 people. We need reasonable size. I think 7 to 9 is really the size that these committees should ideally be. But again, in any given listening area, that may not match the reality and it may need to be bigger. But you don't want to need to spend a month finding a date when everybody can meet. Right? You want to have a workable body, however that works out. And then the third section is, in that section about the composition of the committee, the executive director would be an ex officio member of each of those local committees, and in the end, the final decision, based on the process locally and based on the narrowing down of the candidates, but the final decision will be in the hands of the executive director, according to my proposal. And then the third section is encouraging, looking for ways to have as much input and community and staff involvement. And that needs to be balanced against, oh my God, I have three M's in community there. Anyway, we really want a lot of community involvement. Anyway, well, we need to balance the commitment to an open process with the real rights and respect for people's personal lives and privacy to a certain degree. That at least certainly in the early stages of a process, people may not have informed somebody that they're working for, an organization that they're employed by, that they're looking for another job. That might be different, though, at the end stages of a process when you narrowed it down to two or three finalists. And we may want to ask them to be more open about that so there can be some dialogue with staff and with community. So, again, if we look at this as not as a set-in-stone proposal, but a set of ideas and guidelines to be used in each locality, it puts a different twist on it. So that's the proposal I'm making. First, I just want to see if the board has any comments on this, and then I know there are some community comments on this as well. So first on the board, are there any comments, questions? No. Carol, yes.
I'm very concerned about the community and staff involvement in the final stages. I think there is great concern that among our our community that they know something about a person before they come in and become the general manager of that station. And I also know that oftentimes the very best candidate for the job is in a very awkward position with their current employment. I'm wondering, I like your proposal. I mean, there's nothing like sitting in a room and being able to have a question and answer period, but I like your suggestion of asking finalists to write vision statements or whatever it is they want to say about what they see that they would do without signing them and those being circulated so the community could comment on them. That really seems awkward and unideal, but I'm very afraid that the best candidate for the job might be eliminated by not being able, by putting their current job at risk, which they don't want to lose. I don't know. That's all I want to say is I'm very conflicted about this.
Okay, David, Erdick.
I'll just point out that here in Southern California that the community meetings with the local advisory board did result in a configuration that actually is quite different from the numbers you have here, but the principles, I think, are well addressed by it. And it enables us to proceed insofar as this is not a requirement, but a guideline. I think it's laudable, and I appreciate as a guideline, I appreciate it greatly.
Are there other board comments? Because I know a number of people out here in the listening group want to Okay, let's hear Sam and Miguel, and then we'll open it up to the people signed up, David. Miguel, yeah, and then Sam. Okay, we'll try and get to everybody.
Okay, here you go. I would like to ask a question in reference to the final candidates. When the committee will recommend two or three candidates, or whatever numbers that will be, and that means that the secretary director will select one person from there, or and I have to say that based on my experience and participated in those committees, in my experience, my personal one is that we recommend two people, I think, and the person decides to choose somebody that was not even part of
the
five.
The intention is that it be from that pool.
So the intention...
from that pool, not somebody else.
Right. How can we add that somewhere that we don't repeat that bad experience to me? That we don't waste our time fighting and then they choose the number 10 candidate or whatever. So that's one thing. The other part that I worry a little bit is, I know that it's a strong language here, recommending the ethnicity, participation, and so on, but what process can we use, or the board will use, to get the word around that this announcement can get in different community, because I remember somebody told me, no, we put in the New York Times. And I felt like, I don't even buy the New York Times that often. But how can we get those, the ethnic press, you know, that we make sure that that go to different communities and is open to every community and different, I mean, some of the newspaper has a big circulation, and I think that we should promote it in different things, that we should make that part of the, proposal.
Okay, thank you. I think those can easily be integrated in. Again, what I'm suggesting here today is not a hard and fast set of rules, but guidelines. So those could easily be worked in. Except I do think actually the last thing should be a kind of hard and fast rule that the executive director cannot at the end of this process whip in somebody else that hasn't gone through the process. That should be a rule, that the final selection comes from the people who have gone through the process.
And I witnessed that in the past. That's why I really wanted to...
Sam.
Yeah, I just want to clarify in terms of how these committees are going to be formed in terms of the different situation in different listening areas.
Okay.
And bringing in different groups and constituencies of the Pacifica family to participate in the process. That'll mostly be done in coordination between the lab and the executive director. Is that how I'm understanding it? Or
I'm sorry, I was distracted for a moment. Could you...
In terms of how this process will be put forward in each of the listening areas to bring in constituencies of the Pacifica family to participate meaningfully in the process, that'll be coordinated between the people listed here, particularly the labs and the executive director.
Jabari?
As part of this proposal, I would like to see added to the part about who makes the decision that the board give concurrence to the picked by the executive director. I want to see a sense that the board, in its capacity, have a final say in blessing the selections, so that we can minimize. First of all, so we all as a board take a active role in seeing what is going on throughout the foundation. I think every board member should be concerned with every listening area. So I think there should be a concurrence. But also, it might give one last level of listener input if certain questions or concerns may come up about certain candidates. But kind of like almost like the president can nominate judges, but the Senate must give advice and consent kind of thing.
Carol.
Yeah.
as this board operates under two-thirds or balanced majority vote, I'm a little uncomfortable with that, although we've been working in a very cooperative and collegial manner, so it was very encouraging. I wouldn't want this board to have the veto power, however, over the selection of that, over someone who went through the local screening process that and then the executive director in his or her final decision. That's why we pick an executive director. I don't think this board should actually make personnel decisions below the executive director.
Yes, Ray. I'm sorry, you
want to speak to us? I just want to address something that Carol mentioned earlier. I'm very concerned about, personally, in choosing somebody, in getting a statement from them as to where they stand and what their vision is. I understand that an individual might be putting their job in jeopardy, but I would hope that somebody who aspires to become the executive director of Pacifica.
No, these are for the station managers. These are for the station managers only.
I went to the bathroom, so I missed.
Okay. It's rough.
I'm saving my comments for later.
Well, I just also want to speak to Jabari's suggestion. I agree with what Carol said, that I think the point here is that part of the process of rebuilding this foundation is turning over or, you know, recommitting the power of the community part of community radio, and that's a local function, and that needs to be inclusive of the players at the local level, but somebody who's gone through a process that is inclusive, includes the lab, includes the activist community and the staff, and has been in a consultative process with our executive director, which does have to be hired by the full board. I just don't think this body should have a vote in that, let alone a veto in that. David?
Right on. I do want clarification, fearless leader. On the issue of the finalists from whom the executive director makes the final election, is it your, thus, I guess, an amendment to this that the executive director would have to select from the finalists of this?
Yes, I wanted to incorporate that into this document, that the selection would have to come from the finalists.
So in that paragraph where it says, the final decision about who to hire for the station manager position will be made by Pacifica's executive director from the finalists.
Yes, from the finalists.
Thank you. And I would move the question unless there's any questions.
Okay, well, no, I'm sorry, but there are some voices that we need to hear from before we vote on this. If we could, okay, Marion, I know time is, the pressure's on me around the time here. So Marion wants to speak, and then if we can get at least a handful of the people who signed up. Yeah, Marion.
In terms of your motion, the consideration cannot go outside of the finalists going through this process. Can the executive director reject all those and start again?
Yes, I think that is doable.
I want to make it clear.
But to do it again means to go through the whole process again.
But
okay,
that
would be in there. That would be in public.
But not automatically have to take it. That if nobody comes from that list that the executive director feels can do the job. Right?
Okay, that's fine. Then the process will begin again. I really want to move to the people who have signed. Let me just call on people, folks. Again, this is not going to be set in stone here. These are guidelines for people to work out the details of locally. So, Sherna Gluck.
Sherna Gluck from the West Side Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network. I'm speaking both as an individual who's been consulting with a lot of people.
Can we get the mic up a little bit?
Who's been consulting with a lot of people, and I have a specific resolution on the privacy issue from our West Side group. But I want to say a few things first, and if you'll give me 5 minutes.
No.
Someone says closer, someone says further back. Okay. First, and I'll try and stay focused, and I'll try and be concise, but I have to tell you I'm very upset right now, today, because of reports I see from the West Bank, where there are major massacres going on, where 400 men in one refugee camp between the ages of 14 and 40 have been rounded up by the Israeli Defense Forces. That's why we need Pacifica, and that's why we need our own station. Okay. Having said that, I want to talk a little bit about empowerment of listeners, because I think there's a difference that the discussion this morning, as chaotic as it might have seemed, was very critical, because I think we were getting at a lot of the issues that many of us feel passionately about. We've taken back the network. We're taking back our stations. But what is the difference between listener participation and listener empowerment? For one, if all of us had had this Leslie's proposal, Leslie and I have been in email communication because of the work we've been doing in L.A. around it. You heard from David Adelson yesterday. You heard somewhat from Furtick. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to take more than 30 seconds. Okay. We heard a little bit from Furtick. We have a process here in L.A. that we've worked out. The initiation, by the way, came from our Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network groups. Not all the groups. Some people think all 12 weren't involved. It came from a lot of discussion. Was taken to the lab. The lab made an amendment. It went back to the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network Coordinating Committee to decide if we were going to participate in that amended process. We have a process. I happen to think it's a good process. We didn't all get what we wanted. But there are a couple of critical elements, and that's what I want to talk about as part of your guidelines, Leslie. Your major principles are absolutely terrific. It's the composition issue that bothers me. And as someone said, several people have said, you know, participatory democracy is cumbersome, and it's chaotic, and it takes time. We have to have that. There are a couple of issues, and then it relates to the number of people from listener groups that are composed the committee. In what we worked out in our listener area here for KPFK is three people. We're going to have an election after this meeting. I think there are now 9 candidates for our 3 slots. They will be selected. The lab's in the process of selecting there. The fire and ban are putting names, etc. Okay, what I want to address, though, is opening this up even more. We are trying, I know we are all trying desperately, to make sure that women and people of colors and people from the disability community, people from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, I would add the hip-hop community, I hope. We need young people. Look at this room. Unless we have at-large seats, and I really need the time to say a few words about this. Yesterday, the other evening, we had a young compañero, I have no idea if he's here today, who talked about the issue of youth. Yesterday, one of my former students, who was one of the May Day arrestees in Long Beach, was here. We need to involve the youth. We could save the station maybe for, you know, as many as some of us are going to live, but unless we get them in here, we're going to lose in another 10 or 20 years. To that end, I think it's critical that at-large members be added to the composition. It may make, can I finish without people shaking their heads, please? It may make it larger, it may make it cumbersome, but it's one way of bringing in not only people who have not been represented by the process, but of bringing in young people who are not in our neighborhood groups. Yeah, we need to bring them in there. We need to bring them in everything. But we have to have another process. So to that end, I would suggest that as part of your proposal for composition, that however many the local listening area wants to add, in the case of L.A., we've added 5 at large, to be selected by the initial people from the who've been elected by the neighborhood group and who the lab have been selected. They will be jointly selected. Okay. Oh, on that. But I need to quickly introduce the resolution from the West Side that has to do with the privacy issue. There was a lot of discussion and disagreement and debate about privacy, secrecy. A lot of us feel if someone's a finalist and they're not willing to go public, is it someone we want? I think what we came up with on the West Side, and I will be responsive to my group and stick to what the resolution was, which was one other solution was to have at least one on-air forum in which the finalists can remain anonymous, though some people might recognize their voice, but they will not have to give their name, but it will give an opportunity for the community to relate to them without them having to go totally public. So I simply have an obligation to introduce that to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Janice, it's Mike over here.
Negative reaction to the
at-large
statement.
Can't hear you.
Okay,
the reason
I...
Your mic's not on.
Yes,
okay.
Testing.
Let's just leave all the mics up.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Okay, my initial negative reaction toward at-large. At-large used to be people outside the signal area. That's what representatives were. So right away, I knew when I first came to WBAI. Why was somebody interested in what we were doing but couldn't hear Pacifica? Why would they want to deal with Pacifica? So that just to me had a really negative connotation. But now that I understand what you mean by at large, it makes more sense to me.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I want to call Roy Hurst next.
Well, on the question of whether how we should choose our manager, I was selected.
We don't hear you.
I was selected by a few concerned members of the staff, most of whom you've seen wandering around here if you don't recognize them. And this would be our makeup. I actually I asked Stephen to run this off for you. But there would be two paid staff members, union and management, two community reps, lab, FPNN, etc. One volunteer programmer and one executive director. the reason that the staff is concerned about this process is because we think, at least at KPFK, that we are extremely important in the choosing of a manager. I mean, who can effectively manage a place like KPFK it's with everything involved? For us, at least for me, there's no question that this appointment will eventually be a political one. The question becomes, will the person's politics outweigh their management skills? And, will that person make decisions about programming, especially because to me that's what this is all about, based on their political alliances and rather than what's best for fulfilling the Pacifica mission. What person has the best skills to develop the synergy between all the various talents involved in meeting that mission? And in other words, it's one thing to say, and I'm here because I believe it, that there needs to be community involvement in, more community involvement, certainly much more than we've had at KPFK.
Let us finish.
Excuse me. Well, I'll speak to that in a second, but I'm just going to continue with this. Please don't speak to that. Okay. There's another thing altogether. When you consider how that's to be done, how communities are supposed to be brought into this process, there needs to be process involved. So if you get a political person, someone who's more political than they are a manager, it's chances are, and my fear is, that there won't be the kind of vision necessary to put together a template in which volunteers can work and support this station. It's very important. It was one thing to say we want community involvement. It's a whole other thing to think about how that's to be done. And so it takes organization. There's a whole lot of talk about, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of necessary talk about people who were banned and fired, and people who basically are on the microphone. But there's a whole culture behind that. people who are both staff members and volunteers who have come to the station, especially volunteers where I began, and didn't see a place for them. You know, there's no template for which the talents can be effectively organized. So I'm going to wrap up. The staff is really, really important component in gauging whether a manager, any staff, even a staff without me, is really important in gauging whether a manager has a sense of how to effectively do what they know they're going to be facing on a daily basis.
Thank you. John Riley.
Hi, my name is John Riley. I'm from the New York listening area, and I am here to discuss a resolution that has profound implications for the hiring of the new general manager, but also broader implications for how people are hired at Pacifica in general. And I'm a part of a group that came up with a resolution that I think most of you have in front of you, and we can present copies if you don't have it, called the Resolution on Race and Nationality Issues at Pacifica. The group that put it together came together last night. It was a multiracial group of activists from New York and Los Angeles. And many of us were profoundly moved by the powerful presentations of the people of color that came before the board yesterday, talking about how they were fired and banned from the Los Angeles station. And I think we all recognize that there's been profound distortions that have occurred in hiring and firing policies at the Pacifica station since the takeover of the network began about a decade ago. And we need to correct that. And I truly believe that there's really good will on the board to do that, and I've heard that today. And so this resolution is only presented in the lines of giving more flesh-out structure to that. And I'm not going to go into this in detail, but I'm just going to describe the brief outlines of that. But we also need to keep in mind that any resolution on affirmative action policies, that it's not going to just address the distortions that occurred in the last 10 years, but there were problems before that, and there's always problems with racism in our society, and it affects every institution and every group, progressive or not. I like to think that it affects progressive groups less, but we still need to deal with that. And so what this proposal does is it calls for the incorporation of people of color at leadership levels as well as the rank and file levels at every step of the way, from the committee level to national programming. And the proposal itself focuses in on issues of race, but you know, obviously there needs to be proposals that deal with homophobia and sexism as well. And, you know, I notice that as a gay man that, you know, there's not as much gay programming throughout the network as I might like. But, you know, I think that the race issue is something that we need to address right away and do that in the hiring policies. And there needs to be a sense of accountability. This proposal incorporates that, where every staff member would need to be responsive to this policy, and it would be a basis for evaluation. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. You know, obviously one of the things that this board is going to need to do is a thorough review not only of the bylaws, but we're mandated also to review all our policies and procedures. It seems to me this needs to come, what John and the resolution the committee or the group wrote up needs to be revisited, and that also, that as we put into place actual policies and procedures, that attention to affirmative action and commitment to diversity, et cetera, needs to be built into the structures of the organization. That's what I'm hearing you say.
That's right. And also, we would like action on this by the next board meeting, because obviously a lot of hiring and decisions are going to be made. And for listeners out there that, you know, don't have access to this, they can get it by emailing bob at wbaiaction.org. That's Bob at wbaiaction.org.
Can I just want to ask everyone's indulgence. It's about 12 minutes to 1, and there are a few other things we must do in this meeting, and I know some of the board members need to get to the airport. So can we move on? Can we move to, I know several people signed up to speak, but I'd like to move on. I think that, again, what the proposal was that these be guidelines and a direction that be followed, that if we could get a motion to adopt it with the changes, that is ethnic press, diverse outreach in terms of where job announcements go under the tasks, that we add at-large representation, that we add that the finalists, that the executive director has to choose from the finalists, and that should they be rejected and nobody selected, the whole process has to kick in again. With those changes, can we move
call
to
the question?
I'm sorry.
Look, Carol.
We heard a few minutes ago from a member of the KPFK staff. Okay. And we rarely have had the opportunity to hear from staff members. We've heard from a lot of community activists over the last few years. And I think we need to take to heart, these are the people who will be managed by the general manager. And what we know is that when you have good staff relations, you get a lot more, it helps. That's what we learned when we had Nicole at KPFA. So I would like to beef this up and propose that there be, there are only two staff members on what might be a 9-person committee. I'd like to see 3 or 4 or something like that.
Well, again, since this is guidelines, but one of the principles that I was trying to suggest here is that the composition, that the committees and the processes, it be inclusive of the constituent parts, and that be done in a fair and workable balance to that, right? That we not hammer out the numbers here today, but that included in that has to be staff, paid and non-paid participation. And if we can leave it at that, because otherwise, right. Let me say, if we don't leave it at that, then I'd like to table this whole discussion, because we have 5 signal areas with 5 realities. We're not going to camera that out.
All right.
David?
I call it a question.
I think that the problem is that people are concerned about the relative weighting of different constituencies as an a priori political weighting. You can resolve that with a one-sentence amendment that says that the process should ensure that each group in participating is ensured that at least one candidate satisfactory to them makes it into the finalist stage. And then you dispense with an awful lot of stones on, in my opinion.
David?
Come on, Madam Chair.
Yeah, Marion.
I mean, you may have 14 different constituent groups.
We've identified at-large members, staff members, local boards, and organized listenership. 4 constituencies.